Greetings to each and every one of you also in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So today, I don't know, I thought would this kind of the inspiration, I guess, come to me to try something a little bit different maybe. A lot of times when people are don't know or come to Christ first or don't know much, or not heard the Word of God or even read in the Bible, we will often tell them to, you know, read John first or read so-and-so first and kind of give them a basic understanding of what of what God is trying to teach us and share with us in His Holy Scripture, especially, you know, throughout the New and Old Testament, just like we did in the Sunday school class too. He was really trying to keep the children of Israel closer to His heart, like the song we sang. You know, that should be a vision or a heart desire that we all have in being nearer to God, a closer walk with Him, as that words of those songs say. And so I don't necessarily have a prepared message, but we just go through John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and have maybe a little bit more like a Bible study or whatever. Read these verses. I'd like for you to take turns in reading a verse and just giving your inspiration on that verse, what you think it's saying, or if you have something to share with it, fine. If you don't, that's also fine, but everyone can, and see what we can learn from each other in regards to like what your inspiration is on these verses, and why that sometimes we generally would tell people read the book of John, you know, start there. And how this chapter also has some direct, you could say, correlation or taken from Scripture fits the Genesis story very much so. You know, like He wasn't really telling us anything new. It starts like in the beginning. And what does Genesis say? In the beginning, there was Word, there was God, there was Jesus there. You know, God came to us in the flesh, and that's who actually Jesus was, you know, the inspiration of all that. And it was all started from the beginning. So the gospel is, you know, relates to the New Testament, has many, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, many of his quotes and things that he told us was taken directly from what was already in the Old Testament that God had handed down, and as commandments and obedience and stuff that He'd given Moses for His children to follow. So, kind of have it broken up, I guess, in several portions, and I have some questions that I guess we can ask then on these verses and explanations and stuff, trying to just get a little bit of everybody's input more on the scriptures. So that's kind of my goal. We'll see how it goes here, I guess. I know it might be kind of hard just reading one verse and explaining, but just want to break it up here. Let's read the first 8 or 9 verses, I guess, and then whoever read them, we can come back and anyone can share an inspiration or thoughts or explanation that they have on these verses. Because I think we can break it down per verse, but let's go from 1 to 9, I guess, to where he ends with talking about the light. So If you want to start reading, Joseph, you can read, just read a verse at a time, and we'll just go around just like we do, did on the Sunday school class. And then we can come back with those and your verse that you read or anything on that in the context of the first of that first group of verses we can discuss a little bit. And we'll see what comes out of it. Okay, so open it up. We'll just open. What did, you know, in that context, in that text there, what's your inspiration that comes out of that? What's he telling us here? That's good. The word, okay. So, well, that's interesting because one of the questions that I had here that I found like on this little study was, you know, what five claims, what five things are being said about the word in the very first verse there? What is being said about him? I can give the explanation here a little bit that, you know, fits what you're saying. It's like, so it was with God, like. We take there's pronouns in there, you know, of in him, and you know that he was like as a being a man sent, which was Christ when he came in the flesh. That was actually God. So it's like referred to as being him in verse 3. That's the word is being referred to as being as him, as God in verse 3. With God in verse 1. Was God in verse 1. In the beginning, like Joseph had pointed out, there's, you know, twice that comes in verse 1 and 2. And was made through him. Everything was made through him in verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So that is consistent with Genesis being in the beginning there. It simply says, Genesis says God spoke or God said. And so when he said something, the word proceeded from his mouth. And that's what created. When he said the word and he spoke the world into existence, he spoke it with a word in connecting them together. So, you know, that's what Genesis tells us about creation. It's through his word that things took place, that things happened, that things materialized. And it refers to the pronoun there as us as being also as referring to God the Father, you know, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were all three present there. It's also mentioned that it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. It talks in Genesis. And then he goes on and shares with us that in him was life. Again, you know, that's coming from his word and life. And this word, the word of God, is the life or is the light of man. And when the word of God is spoken in darkness, it expels it, you know. Light shines, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, or that did not comprehend it, as it says. So, you know, the question was asked, what is in this? What was the darkness? What was the darkness that didn't comprehend it? My verses lined up here, I guess, whatever, but it was in verse 5. What do you think that, you know? I think that's, you know, I guess, I mean, just what I found is the original Greek word for that was, I can't pronounce it, almost like Ketaleben, which is translated did not understand, and it also could mean did not overcome, as Satan's dominion or as the fallen world, you know. That's what, when Satan was cast out, and they did not comprehend that. Okay. They didn't overcome that part. Yeah. That's, yeah, very good. And another thing too, we need to remember here, like in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know, is the writer of the gospel referring to himself or someone else? Well, I think we know he was referring there to John the Baptist, you know, as coming, as the forerunner of Christ. And what was his role? What was John the Baptist, you know, through Zechariah and them, his role was to be a witness of that light so that it would help people comprehend and understand Christ's coming and driving out the darkness. Because we, you know, if we ask the question, what's he talking about there? Who or what was the light? You know, in verse, because it says there in verse 8, he was not the light. John the Baptist was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And then 9 is, you know, is going on, is telling us that of what that true light actually was, that it is the thing that lighteth every man that comes into this world. Yeah, as an interchangeable, as being the same, I guess. And so I was just blessed with, you know, how that actually connects, like I said, connects back to, you know, the creation story, that what God told us there in the beginning. And, you know, how it said the Spirit of God was over the water, and, you know, he divided the night and day, separated those. Separated the light or darkness, you could say. like verse 3. What's your take on verse 3, Lucy? What did that tell you? Without God. Yeah, I mean, that's my thoughts too. I just wanted to hear it from you, you know. It's like, and you know, that we need to impress that, you know, that's the verse we need to take in and you know, take it into ourselves and our hearts in this, and remember that we go through our day sometimes and we forget nothing without him was not made anything that was made. Anything we can, you could say, touch, taste, feel, smell, anything that appeals to any of that was still, first it was God, you know, or made by, you know, and controlled by him. So that's a blessing. So let's move on. Let's go to verse 10. Read from 10 to, I don't know, 10 to 14 maybe. Yeah, let's go from 10 to 14, next four verses. I think it'd be Truman, you want to read from start with 10? William read last there. So just go back, open up with you, Truman. There's something you want to share on the verse you read or inspiration of what we, these four verses. I know the King James Version says by him. I mean, your version says through him, but by him. I don't know, the term by kind of reflects back again that he was in the beginning with God, and he was there present, you could say, when God spoke the world into existence, and then he comes into that very place that God had created and made, came down here, you know, and then just let the... And the very creation that he created did not recognize him, did not know that he came from, you know, that thing. And I think it relates also a little bit like back to verse 3 a lot. Again, just remembrance that he made everything. He was part of it. And recognizing that. Yeah. Well, my study also, whatever I had read about it, is like those pronouns also refer to the word. It's also like interchangeable to what we read to start out with as being the word, as being God, and as being Jesus, yeah, and as being, you know, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and God the Son, and putting those pronouns in there, yeah. So who was his own and his own that received him not, Ethan? The one that Ethan had read there, yeah. What's your take on that? As a rejection of, we're not going to have Jesus tell us what and how to, you said the Jews, they claim, you know, the same being the Israelites, being still back from the Old Testament, the chosen people of God, you know, that was supposed to recognize. And you know, those Israelites, in according to the prophecies, they was looking forward to, They were looking forward to the coming of Christ. There was, you know, they had the prophecies, you know. And so then when he was here, like, who are you? You're from, you know, as we go to the end here, this the very end of the chapter is like, what good can come from Nazareth? He's a Nazarene, you know. He was, you know, so they totally did not recognize him even when he was there. And I think that's what John is in this message, you know, throughout the very first chapter, that John the Baptist is bearing a witness and was very empathetic in trying to get these people to recognize that of who he was and who he was coming, and that he was there. Yeah, you know, when John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," a couple times. That you guys don't recognize this is God. Yes. Free us from this captivity of yes. As a measure. Yeah, that's true. Very good. So Aaron, what about 12? Yeah. They still felt lost and rejected. Yeah, it couldn't be. And like we heard this morning, I guess, you know, even the throughout the children of Israel, that's obedience then, you know, but as a big factor in there. Is a key factor, I guess. That it didn't matter who they were, that they could, if they believed what John was trying to tell them, that what Christ came for, and he was a forerunner, then they could also be a child of God. Explain 13, though, Jonathan. Yeah, it's like, I think that when it says, but not of blood, that means just because your lineage was Jew or your lineage was Jesus or you were raised in a Christian home, you know? There's not that. And then, like, by the will of the flesh is like, I mean, anyone can go out and be a father. And I mean, not necessarily be a father, but produce a child. But that doesn't make that child, just because this person produced a child, make that child a child of God. And, or the will of man, you know, just being the human desire, it says, to do the will of the flesh or the will of man, as it refers to there. But those that believe in his name. John 1 simply declares that God's children, in fact, are those who believe in the Creator God and who came into this world, and the ability to believe in God is also extended and granted to you by God. You know, he gives you all, it says he calls, right? And so our response to that calling in that way. Mark, you have something to share with us on 14? It's a beautiful verse there. There again, it comes in with the word, you know, using the capital word, how that he's telling them that he's here, he's walking right here among you. John could behold his glory. And the word was full of what? Grace and truth, you know, that we have. Okay, I'll read a few more here. We'll go to from 15 to 17, maybe. Says John bare witness of him and cried. You know, so John that's writing the gospel is speaking of John the Baptist that he wrote about here. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Read the next one, Joseph. read 19 yet. Okay, we'll stop there then, because the answer to that one is down farther. But yeah. Again, just on 15 there, he's telling us that this person that's in front of you, the person that I'm showing you, was long before I was, and is preferred before me, because he was before me, John's saying. And he's a witness of that. In Colossians 1:16 tells us also about so how long before John the Baptist was Jesus, how long when he said that he was before him, before the world was created. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, those in the heavens and those upon the earth, those visible and those invisible, whether it was thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." In 17 there then too, the law was basically speaking about the Ten Commandments that was given to him by Moses. But, was there any grace or mercy extended in those? He's just telling us that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So let's read more verses here. Let's go down to 19, I guess, there, from 20 to 28. The question in 19 was bare. This is a record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, they went out there to ask him, "Who thou art?" And then this was John the Baptist, his confession. So read verse 20 there. Was it? When would you leave? You read the last one, okay. Lois, you can read 20, or Audrey can read 20, yeah. these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. So, interesting. So the thing that the Jewish people, whatever, were waiting for, the prophecy in the Old Testament was simply one anointed Savior called the Messiah. They were looking for him. In Hebrew, it would be Messiah, would be Christ. And and then in the other one was they was looking for the prophet Elijah was supposed to come back before the return of Christ. So they thought that's who it would be. So they'd send him out there to ask him if he was one of these three things. Malachi 4:5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrifying day of the Lord." That was their scripture. So they had that. And you know, the prophet, they was looking for a prophet. He says, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren, him you shall hear." That was in Deuteronomy 18:15. And when they come and they ask him them specific questions, that's kind of why they ask him that. Those are three things they were looking forward in the prophecies of being fulfilled. And what did John the Baptist tell him? He said, "No, I'm none of those, you know." John simply told him that I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. That's who he was. He was the forerunner. You know, the prophecy from them. Isaiah 40, from 1 to 3, just reading that, says, be comforted, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her warfare is ended, that her sin is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's who John was telling him that he was, from the prophecy of Isaiah there. And, you know, this Isaiah was written as the Jews were returning, were coming back from their promised land from exile. and then, you know, Isaiah chapter, for the first part of Isaiah, it was God's judgment upon them. And then after chapter 40 started there, it was a shift that God's telling them that he will provide for them and that he will make a straight path and that he has a way for them. And that Christ was, the prophecy of Christ was going to come to, you know, for the salvation of mankind. Interestingly, though, that again, he tells them, and I'm talking too much. I wanted you guys to share more, but you know, this guy was out there and he was baptizing people. You know, so he was causing a turmoil. He was causing, you know, something. This is not happening before. Who is this guy? You know, and the Pharisees, they send men out there to check him out. And why are you baptizing for? You know, and then, you know, his reference to them is like, there's this, the one that should be baptizing you that comes after him, is standing here among you, and you don't recognize him. You know, the term used there of not worthy to unlatch his sandal strap or his shoelace. You know, what reference does that have? You know, why do you refer to that? Like he was not, John said he was not even worthy to do that. Well, again, I think it's just a tradition that was the thing that happened back there. They definitely, their shoes were sandal-like, and you know, their roads were dirt and bare, and they traveled with animals, and so it was custom to, when you come to a house, that the person, you know, would wash their guests' feet and clean up before they came in. And John is saying, I'm not even worthy to unloose the strap, much less wash his feet, you know, for who he was. Let's read to, let's read some more. Let's read to verse 37 yet. Continue then. We're not going to get through 51 verses the way it looks. Yeah. Verse 30, Joseph. Yeah, verse 30, yeah.
This is he, my step after him. He was.
I think we can quit there in reading. So, you know, what's the thing that, like, this whole chapter, some of the impressed upon me a lot, and it, like, in encouraging someone that don't know the Word or have been exposed to the Word of God or whatever, or new in accepting Jesus and Christ and the Creator, it's pretty powerful in the wording and the way it's laid out in regards, like, so do you believe this or not? You know, I mean, even John the Baptist is giving reference here to what he was told, what he was shown, and that, you know, as I saw and I bear record, this is the Son of God. Behold, this is the Lamb of God. And that when he's here, and he's the one that's not gonna, he's gonna baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You know, John was saying, I did not recognize him except for these signs that was given to him, and that they had came true, and then he pointed that out. You know, the turmoil that was going on there, and the people that was surrounding him, the people that came out there and witnessing all this, you know, like, just read the next couple of verses, I guess, maybe, but there was two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned around and saw them. They were walking after him, and he asked them, "What do you seek? What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." That simple expression there, you know, that was used by a couple of the disciples too, you know, simply like, just come and see. So they came, they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. And then one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And, you know, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, This is the Messiah. This is the one that you know was prophesied that we're looking for. You know, come and see. He brought him to Jesus in verse 42 there. Jesus looked at him and says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And he went forth into Galilee. He findeth Philip, and he looked at Philip and he says, "Follow me." So, you know, the testimony of John given there and the people that witnessed it, we see others that came to Christ and followed him. You know, as he then Nathanael came into being there and found him. Nathanael said, and again, because of the Nazarenes in the area, the Nazarenes were thought to be, you know, they were not well thought of. They were very looked down upon people, and that's where that expression come from. You know, how can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And there again, Philip says, repeated those words, come and see, just like Christ said, come and see, follow me. I think I'm going to leave it with that. If anybody else has something more to share, I don't know that was necessarily a sermon, but I think we can, the Word of God is still able to continue and make a difference in our life as we share it with one another. So I'm open for anything else anybody has to, inspiration that they had or wants to share with us.